You're listening to Gunapod TT.
Welcome back. It is another episode of Gunapod TT. This is your boy Dion, and I'm here as always with none other than Keegan Bowen. Keegan, say what's up, man.
What's up, Gunas? Season's greetings to everybody out there listening.
Yeah, man. Merry Christmas. Compliments of the season. If you're celebrating or not, just want to wish you all a happy holidays, happy end to the year. And probably should say happy new year all now, because you never know when you'll be back, right? Yo, it's been a minute. You know, life off the mic has been life in. So
we
had to take a little mini pause in the season, but we back to talk about the football club, man. Listen, I'm trying to shake it up a little bit. You know, if you're listening right now, I want to encourage you to like and share and subscribe to the podcast. You know, just let your friends know as you're enjoying the show to get them in on the fun. You know what I mean? So, that all that being said, really want to wish you all a good time this time of the year. And now we're going to just talk about the Arsenal Football Club. We have a lot of games to talk about. But I think I save space for us to start right now is the Champions League, where we would have finished top of the group. And if I'm not wrong, we beat Lens 6-0, and I think it didn't matter what happened, we were still going to finish top of the group. So we had played I rotated 11, I think, against PSV, but we drew that game 1-1. Well, what are your thoughts on the UCL campaign, Keegan? You know,
bruh, I think we don't wanna get my hopes up, but we're moving like seasoned professionals, but like we're moving like you wouldn't believe that this is so many players' first Champions League, the way they're carrying themselves in this competition.
Yeah, and I think it's a very strong performance. You know, it's not as though, and in my opinion, watching the games, it's not as though he played our full strength 11 for all the games, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think we had a good bit of rotation dependent. I think it had the one little blippy performance against Lance, right?
Yeah.
I think
we had payback for that. We had payback for sure.
We get them a little six. But I mean, it's nice to see you know, people like El Nini play some football. Rhys Nelson got some football. I saw Cedric got some football. With the Champions League, and now we on to the second stage, and I try to remember, but I know we draw somebody kind of interesting coming first. So we will be playing football in February. We got Porto, correct? Yeah, Porto to play in the knockout rounds. I think one of the things that's interesting, Keegan, and you could correct me if I'm wrong or not. You know, now every time that you finish first in the Champions League now, in your group stage now, you're guaranteed to play somebody who just not that good now. You know what I mean? Now when you look at how the Champions League is going, you know, some of the top teams, especially like group at that time. So I think there were some really tricky games for us to probably navigate. Had to have played, but and I still think that Porto is a tricky game to play, but I mean, we still see teams like Barcelona. I think Barcelona didn't finish top of their group, you know.
Right.
So, you know, Barcelona is a second team, I believe. Or Napoli. I think there's Lazio. There's RB Leipzig. You know, a lot of difficult teams to have matched up against. I know, obviously, man would have prefer to get like a Copenhagen or something. But, of course, there's always Manchester City that has happened to score the easy people on them now. But, yeah. I don't say the easy people, but you know, the easiest draw, Man City was able to secure that one. But, yeah, I think it was a good group stage campaign. And now, matching up against Porto, I think we have a reasonable expectation that we should at least go through to the quarterfinals. Yeah. I think there'll be an extra again for the quarters. Is there anything else you want to mention about the Champions League performances? I mean, good revenge game against Lens. I'm 5 in the first half. I didn't even watch the second half of that game. I watched the first half, and I was like, 5? I going home.
Lens looked like a totally different team in this game. I mean, I think they peaked when they played us, when they beat us.
Yeah.
And they couldn't reach back to those same levels.
I think
where they came in the Emirates. And then on top of that, they scored some worldies in that game too. And it's not every game you'll be able to score worldies as well.
Yeah. But I think when we look at the Dallons game, I feel like I feel like they came up to play that game and Arsenal kinda just was like, it's Lens. So, you know, it's kind of like we didn't come to play it, and they came to play it. And, you know, it was, what do you call it? A well executed performance. 5 in the first half. Even that Odegaard goal, but, like, just a good finishing throughout. Yeah. So, that was it. Other than that, we are currently top of the table at Christmas.
Not yet.
I watch it. We were top at Christmas. But Liverpool win.
Yeah.
Liverpool win yesterday. Boxing. So we no longer top, but we celebrated. Men opened the gifts as top of the league.
Yeah.
So but it was a kind of blippy little performance, bro. Or the way how we handled it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we have one loss in there. And then we have the draw against Liverpool. I think we could start with the Brentford game, because we would have left off after Burnley.
Mm.
And I say the Brentford game because this was a real hard-fought game, but this was the start of Havertz form.
The Brentford game?
He got a goal in this game.
After this game, I came to a conclusion. Not a conclusion, but an observation or what I would hope to continue is that even if he was in Chelsea, this guy would float, but he ain't floating aimlessly.
Yeah.
But more like floating to find where he could potentially hurt the enemy or hurt the opponent the most. And I think that's why he's come up with so much clutch goals.
Yeah. And he's been on a good form for sure. Okay, he would have scored against Brentford, and he would have had a goal also against Luton. Right? So that he would have had the goal against Luton. And then he also scored against Brighton as well. Some good finishing. I think he's finally getting into that. He's got a play. The kind of Xhaka finishing we expected. He's kind of popping up at the right moment.
Yeah.
To score the goal. So.
But I wouldn't compare him too much to Xhaka though. Like, I feel like Xhaka scored. But Havertz scoring in like very crucial moments.
I think too, Xhaka's goals were kind of like more like edge of the box, top of the box kind of goals. I think Havertz is getting way more into the box.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking, you know, I don't think he scored any headers, right? But he's been getting his head on a lot of
Havertz.
Yeah, he's been getting his head on a lot of
the goal for the Brentford game was a header.
It was.
Yeah, last ball Saka whip it in.
I remember. I know he's been bundling them in, but like he's been hitting. Yeah, last post kind of vibe. But yeah, he's been on some good form. But yeah, we managed it. That Brentford game was a tough game. But we able to come out of there 1-0. And then we able to beat Wolves. I don't have much to say about the Wolves game. But the game I really want us to touch on is Luton, boy. what a game, boy. What a back and forth game. I think this game with Ryan goal. Oh, the thing about Brentford I wanted to mention before we move on. I don't remember it popped in my head. It was Ramsey's first return, I would say, in the Premier League. And he had a horrible error, boy. I don't know if you remember it, because it was been a little while ago. He was he dilly-dally on the ball in the back, boy, and the striker take it off him.
We saying dilly-dally, yeah, but that's how Arteta want him to play, you know.
I'm not saying no, but yeah.
Because he ain't so versatile, it does make it look like if he know what he's doing.
Well, let me just say the word dilly-dally then. I think he, when time came to pass the ball, he second guessed the pass and fluff it a little bit. And the striker take it off him. And, you know, well, they missed. But, you know, a different team, more definitely, he was getting bagged up there for sure. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that. But I think after that game, after that mistake, rather, it was solid.
Mm-hmm.
We was able to finish off. So let's talk about Luton, bro. This game, I think if you look at the stats for David Raya, I think they're stating that David Raya has a 3.3. He had a 3.3 rating on FUTMOP. He'd one save, two errors that led to goal. And I remember us talking about this. How to play, boy. They scored off our two corners and then a shot on any box.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about the quote-unquote errors? I believe the first error was the second corner where he came and didn't collect. And the last one was when the ball passed right below him. And they say that was an error because he was supposed to save it.
Yeah, he was pretty lightweight on that corner. Like, I don't know if he accustomed catching the ball or something, why he came in so soft, but he was stuck off for everything if he was coming there for that second goal.
Yeah.
And the first goal was second goal where they hit it low. That was a great goal though. I mean, yes, you could say he should do better. Like, I feel like he should have saved that with his foot, if I'm being honest, because it was kind of close to him. And getting wrong is what made it score, because he couldn't get on in time.
Yeah.
But the team, all in all, Arsenal is one of Arsenal's best attacking performances of the season. We were real fluent in the attack. I'm just really glad that we were able to win it, to be honest.
Yeah, because I think looking at this game, and I was watching, let's call this thing, boy. I was watching Tifo Football on YouTube, and it was like, well, you know, Arsenal on top because they're one of the best defenses in the league right now. And I was like,
Luton game against Luton didn't say that.
And then we play Luton, and I was like, bro, where is this best defense in the league? Where is that going? Because, bro, we did not have the best defense. Real sleepy on both of the corners, I would say. I remember telling him, especially with the second goal that they scored, if you come in, you have to get, you can't come.
But that's what I'm saying. I just take a glimpse at the day, and he come really passive.
Yeah, you had to get your hand on it at least. And that was, I think that's definitely his error. I do believe that goal that Barkley scored was an error. Let's believe it was more or less poor keeping.
Yeah, definitely. Because as I say, I feel so, like if he, this fella, the hair was saving that show.
Yeah, foot save.
He's foot boss.
Foot save boss. Yeah.
Okay. I guess now would still be the perfect time to bring up this debate where I think Arteta needed to really stick to what he said when he brought Raya in and have an away keeper and a home keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Because recently I saw a stat that says that away from home, Ramsdale is head and shoulders above Raya, and at home, Raya is head and shoulders above Ramsdale, right? At home, Raya has, if one or none errors leading to goals, and his save percentage is really high at home. And away from home, Ramsdale have a same thing. Either one or none errors leading to goal away from home, and save percentage like 70-something% save percentage away from home. Versus at home, when we have more possession in the ball, I think Ramsdale does suffer for concentration. And I feel like the nature of those type of games more suit Raya, where we have more of the ball, where he could be on the ball and passing it out and having control of the game and that kind of stuff. So
My question, when we talk about those stats, right, because I saw what you're talking about.
Right, yes.
Well, right? Even before you sent it to me. And I want to know how much that speaks to the mentality of the keepers. Because I think we don't know much about Raya right now, but we've heard about Ramsdale talking about how he's unable to concentrate. And I think that did he say he's unable to concentrate?
I didn't see the quotes, but I heard people say something along those lines.
He was in a podcast kind of setting with Ian Wright, and he said that he can't keep his mind switched on for the full 90 minutes. So he's like to rile up the fans and that kind of thing.
To keep himself engaged. Yeah.
Right. So I think when you're playing away, it's easy to keep that kind of fight mentality because the fans behind you most likely not Arsenal fans. But when you're on the home ground, it's not nobody to rile you up. And it's not nobody to rile up, you know?
Yeah.
While Arsenal dominating the ball and thing, you know? Most people are just watching to see if Arsenal going to score.
Yeah.
When in reality, men might be behind them on the away.
Yeah.
And
on
just,
the away you know, side of things, Rams, they'll have 6 more clean sheets than Raya playing away from home.
Yeah. So that's interesting, isn't it? Because now it speaks to your mentality. Maybe Raya need that calm, clear-headedness to perform.
Yeah.
And Ramsdale need the chaos. But
and
I agree
that's
with
what I'm
you.
Saying. I think, and if Arteta does do that, because people were implying when he brought in Raya that he would actually do that, you know. That he would,
but
you know,
he and change, said it.
Change the way that, you know, goalkeepers are viewed and used. And
but he and all... Yeah, no, said it, bro. He said in a thing that he wanted to sub his keeper sometimes.
I don't think he wanted to sub his keeper, but I do think that it makes sense to play them at their strengths. So away from home,
Your
water Ramsdale on it. Because I tell you now, the amount of world class saves Ramsdale does make.
Yeah, he is a. Excuse me. Yeah, but he's a top class, I would say, shot stopper.
Yeah.
I think he has improved in his shot stopping capabilities because I believe when he came to take Leno's spot,
Leno was better.
I would say Leno was better at shot stopping, but I think he has grown in that aspect.
Yeah, he better run with that Leno now. I couldn't say that when he first came.
Definitely couldn't say that in his first game, but he has improved to the point where it's not night and day difference. So, yeah, I think Arteta keep a little true to his words, do what the numbers say, and you bring in 2 top-class keepers who could both command a starting position every week. Mm-hmm. You say you do it to
utilize each of them strengths.
Switch them and utilize the strengths.
But you're not doing it.
Do patronize me. Yeah, do patronize me. Right? Other than that, bro, we done come back in this game. Martinelli on his score sheet. We scored first, they scored. We scored again, they scored. They went up. Yeah. 3. Havertz scored, drew it. And Rice at the end with the manic winner.
And I ball out when I score. Ball out.
Yeah.
I think I was running up and down. I was in work. I didn't get to see the second half. And I was just running up and down the corridor saying, Rice, baby.
Yeah, everybody was playing that song. But I feel like that game was kind of like our omen to come, because we moved on to play Villa.
Yeah.
And we lost that game 1-0 to Villa. John McGinn scoring early, and we just not able to do anything at all in this game.
Yeah.
And I watched this game, but I don't really remember too much about it. The two things that really stick out to me in this game was the VAR problems that we had during this game. And I want to say, up to now, every offside call I have seen is VAR reviewed. The VAR reviews it.
Yeah.
And the call Saka offside for this game, and they didn't review it for VAR, and it was I think he would have scored. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure if he ran onto goal to score. I think they just stopped the play completely, like if he was playing back in 2017 or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was one of the things really disappointing this game, especially being 1-0 down at that point. And then obviously there's the Havertz handball that was just a very interesting call. What was your thoughts, sorry, on that Havertz handball?
That was in the Villa game?
That was in the Villa game, correct. He would have scored, bundled it in the ball with a barely touchy hand. After he touched the other defender hand, after the other defender fouled him, right?
Oh, right. So I remember. So people had to understand in this football, right, that it have in the box rules and out the box rules, similar to Odegaard's recent handball, in the Liverpool game, right?
Yeah.
Where it have outside the box. Handball, clearly, right? But in the box, certain things, the penalty is too severe if certain fouls were to be given in the box. So for me, that incident looked like a jostle, like a 50-50, because the ball touched two of them hands.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like when a 50-50 is involved, you hardly get the advantage of the attacker. That's how it used to be, you know? Used to always get the advantage
of
the attacker.
That's how it is.
And in this case, now I don't know what it is. What it is, I understand the rules, and I agree with the rules, right? If it touch your hand, it can't be a goal. But if it touch both of your hand, then it's a penalty then, because it touched the defender's hand.
So
first.
My question is, right? Okay, if VAR is reviewing for a infraction, and they could see another infraction while they're reviewing the infraction, and that infraction took place before the infraction that they're reviewing, isn't that so now you're saying now that in my head now is maybe they see the handball and they say, ooh, that too light for a penalty, but the touch on Havertz hand is strong enough to say forget it. But if that ball didn't touch the defender's hand, more than likely, it wasn't going on touch Havertz hand. So,
the same thing, it goes with proximity and all that. But that proximity rule only applies like if Havertz assisted the goal. But if it is he scored that goal from touching the hand, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that.
I find that a real garbage goal. Because of how many. I think there were two infractions before Havertz touch the ball with his hand. And I feel like given the fact that that has occurred, we should have been given the goal.
No, that being said, the reason why we lose the game was because we threw away.
Yeah, of course.
That's why we lose the game. The handball, the robbery, the body, all this other thing we're talking about it. And the reality is we threw away. We didn't score.
Remember we spoke about this like 3 to 4 years ago, bro. We was like, listen, yes, we were the calls, but at the same time,
finish it,
like, we had to do what we had to do. And I think in a game like this, kind of hard fought against our Emery Aston Villa team, they scoring so early, you know, it was going to be a real dog fight.
Especially about Emery and counter-attacking style.
Yeah. And sometimes you need those kind of calls to help you with the just even the momentum of the game. And when the game is refereed bad, it's BRL issue. And so far this season, we have had countless issues. I think by the time the season is ended, this season probably just Premier League wide, bro, is going to have the most VAR issues this season, because it was a lot of issues.
Yeah.
We have had this year, not just Arsenal, but even with other teams. And it's starting to be real sickening. I don't think I could say. Mm-hmm. But I think we could kind of press on a little bit. We came back with the win, 2-0 against Brighton. Jesus and Havertz. I watch the highlights of this game and I don't.
So we're skipping the PSV game, the one-one.
Yeah, well, remember we kind of talk about that.
Okay, well, sorry, I thought he was just kind of giving a general. I just want to big up Reece Nelson for how good looking that PSV game. Then that's all I want to do. Just big up Reece Nelson because he looked like a man on it, and he just do that sometimes. But then he just fall off of it again, and I really hope he could keep his mentality up. To put some pressure on Saka and Martinelli, please, because the guy looked proper in that PSV game.
Yeah, because I think too, it's good if that he could keep it up and keep that pressure on, because sometimes even Trossard doesn't really come and get a top tier performance as well to keep they on their toes as well. So it'll be good for him, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, so you can move on now. He had a big up race, but you look good. You look real good in that game.
Yeah, Reese is our boss. I just kind of looking back at the goals we scored against
Brighton.
It's our classic winner now. Yeah, we won 2-0 in this one. Jesus got our free header at the back post after the defender. He had to it and assisted him brilliantly. It was a real good knock on to Jesus to score. And then Havertz would have scored in this one. Some nice stuff from Eddie Nketiah for this one. A nice true ball he put through for Havertz to score.
Right.
And 2-0. Yeah, that's about it. I don't really have much to say about this game.
In this game, I wanted to highlight something that I realized. It may have been happening for a while now, but this is the game where it became glaringly obvious that Martinelli is playing a bit anxious. Recently. Of late, he's been playing a bit anxious. I think he needs to relax a little bit and just play his game. The goals will come, the assists will come. I feel like he's trying to force it now. I feel like, you know, like how people are in life sometimes, they just be like, they feel they should reach a particular place in the life by now, and it didn't click for them yet. So they start to make kind of stupid decisions. Trying to force it.
Yeah,
I feel like that is how Martin is playing the football right now. That, you know, I think by now he think in the season he should have reached a certain benchmark, or his performances should have been a particular level, and it's not. And I feel like he's trying to force to make things happen a little bit too much, and making some bad decisions in the game. And I think from this game moving forward, it started to become a lot more obvious that he's playing a bit anxious.
Yeah.
You know?
I think sometimes too, consider. I think for him, he has to consider this. The tactical setup this year is a bit different than what it was last year. It's more defensive minded than attack minded.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the previous systems you'd have gotten a lot of chances.
Yeah.
A lot of opportunities to score. And it is a little bit less this year. The build up is a little bit slower. And otherwise, you took us. It's not like we performing negatively. We still getting good ball, just less attacking. And I think I understand if you come from a little height last season, no.
Yeah.
Because I think by this time, Saka and Odegaard probably had 5 goals to them by the halfway through the season, by Christmas.
Yeah.
Or if they didn't have 5 goals, they would have at least had somewhere between 8 to 10 goal contributions.
Yeah.
You know? So I understand what's happening there with him. But I agree with you. He has been looking like he trying to make it happen when he should just chill it.
I'm not talking about just taking on your man, you know? Just generally the way he's playing, some of the decisions he's making and things.
Yeah, it seems most of the stuff I've been looking at with him, it seems like he's been playing a bit rash, a little bit, you know, forced, as you say. But yeah, so moving on to the Liverpool game, 1-1. There just are a few things to mention for the pool game for me. Good goal. Off the free kick. I missed that goal, bro. I came to do something. I come back, we score, you know. No, bro, I lied.
I came to the match. I started the match late, and I missed the goal as well.
I missed it because the stream I was looking at started to freeze. So I just switched to another one, and then the one I switched to the goal had already happened. So, like, on one stream, it didn't happen as yet, and then when I went to the other screen, goal, the men on kickoff. I was like, bro, I didn't even get any replay. I was so far behind. But yeah, good goal from Gabby. Getting on the end of that header. And then obviously they scored. I mean, I'll share my thoughts on this and I want you to tell me what you think.
What's that?
I think Gabriel was wrong for this goal. And I've looked at it just on the opposite side, on Liverpool's defensive side, and they have it right. So, and I'll just say what I saw on Liverpool's side, and we'll talk about what happened on our side. When Saka has the ball out on that left wing, on that right wing, sorry, and you're looking to come in, yes, Saka on the right, looking to come in, so I think Siki Marcus is out there, right? Or even Martinelli, both wings. Whoever is there, the right center back or the left center back actually plays a lot closer to their right back, the main defender. So, because obviously Martinelli or Saka, they are going to cut in because they're playing as inverted wingers, inside forwards, kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, usually they would go wide. Wide enough, bring the right back out, and then use the pace and the fact that they are running towards the goal, and the defender kind of has to either step back or run parallel to keep up with them.
Mm-hmm.
You use that kind of position against them. So the center back comes closer to kind of front off that run. And if you look at this goal, Gabriel is way too far from...
Yeah.
From Zinchenko for this. Now, I understand when I look back at it, right? Just looking at it here. He's so far from him. But there's also, Saliba doesn't really pick up the man in the box as well. So he kind of trying to figure out whether or not to come over. But in my mind, bro, like, you had a go and support Zinchenko there against Mohamed Salah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do give Salah the opportunity to cut in and have space to shoot. And, you know, you could look at the goal and you could say Zinchenko get beat easy, but I think anybody could expect that. So, no disrespect to Zimmy. But, you know, it was way too much space. Because from the time he pushed left, he was able to just, you know, that was it. You know what I mean? That was it. He pushed left and he had like 2 steps before he was able to get his shot off. And I feel like if Gabriel was a bit closer, he would either have to pass the ball off into the middle, the defense reset, or he has to take more steps to come into the middle to shoot, and as I had an angle to shoot from in the middle, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my only real disappointment. Big up to Declan Rice, so he got a, oh sorry, I didn't get an opportunity to say what you thought about him.
I was waiting.
Wholeheartedly agree with me. Say the news make real sense. But.
Nah.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, right, I have to give Liverpool a lot of credit for that goal, because it's something that they did last time they played us as well, and it's a trademark, I think, of our Liverpool's play. Liverpool has a lot of very good long passes in their team.
Yeah.
Them men can switch that. Watch out, when I see Van Dijk pinging balls, it's like a short pass. Like, he's making it look so easy, dog. Mm. You understand? And oftentimes, this is what Liverpool has catch teams with. Route one.
Yeah.
That is all in it. I find like it's annoying that they do it so well and that teams just can't cope. You know? So, a big part of why Gabriel was out of position, you might say, a big part of why our entire shape was off for that goal, although we covered each other somewhat okay, is because of that route one passes. That's what route one passes do. It catches teams. It doesn't give teams chance to reset and organize their shape. And so that's very intentional from Liverpool to do that and isolate Salah against Zinchenko. Zinchenko's body shape, I would say, was correct, but his positioning was bad. So the body shape was to usher him down the wing, but his positioning was too far ahead of Salah, giving him enough room to cut back onto his left.
Yeah.
I would also say that anticipation of danger could have been a little better from Gabriel to get tighter or to get closer to support him. But it's real difficult to do from those kind of passes. That was no floated pass. No. That was a
ping. Yeah, that was a
switch pass, and Salah was just on it. No.
As you say it, I see it. Because I think one of the things
not for that pass,
We kind of build the ball up slowly enough that they could double up on positions.
And shift positions and things,
And when you play the ball that quickly, there isn't really opportunity to double up. Understand what you're saying? Anger fighter. But I still think from the time the ball comes to Salah there.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Cody Gakpo, but Gakpo didn't really say nothing to me right now. I still feel like Gabriel needed to get tighter. And I think if he got a little tighter, Saliba would have been able to realize what he needed to do. Probably get a little tighter himself. And Ben White probably would have gotten tighter himself.
Yeah.
And let him rebuild the play somewhere else.
Yeah.
Just you do less a lack of team. But the song you're saying is it's such quick. We out there watching it and we think
the bypass would have went from play. Defense to attack with one pass.
Yeah, it's such quick play that you know there's not much to say.
Liverpool does do that all the time, boy. That man could just ping it, boy.
Well you talk about our savior now, boy. You see man. I don't know if it's still happening. You see, man wanted to run a GoFundMe to give West Ham more money for Declan Rice because we robbed them. You saw that?
Men saying right that for the 5-1-1 that Rice did nothing. I say right. Is this Trent who threw it? It was Trent.
Trent threw it,
yeah, that Trent is just garbage and Trent threw it. Say, oh, they know what they're saying, boy. Oh, they know what they're saying.
Rice. Nah, them.
Listen, that was super.
GoFundMe going on. I not gonna look for you GoFundMe, but it's not there.
You see, Rice Raya. I think who was running back was Saliba.
I don't even remember.
It was Saliba.
All I know is in my head.
I'm wrong in the comments, right? But see them three men? Them three men prevent that goal from scoring. Here's why. Rice did just enough to slow Salah up and to make him feel like you could take more or you could pass it. You could take more, have Salah guessing. Take more or pass it. Take more or pass it. Enough for that person who's running back, which I believe was Saliba, to close down the right channel. So he couldn't slip it right. He had one choice. Salah. We gave Salah one choice. That was no chance thing. He had to square it to them, to one of those three men that was running onto it. Right?
Yeah.
When he reached close to the 18-yard box, I can't remember if it was inside or outside the 18-yard box.
No,
Rice, take one step to close the angle where that person who got the square pass had to shoot last post or else the weather get wrapped. Because Raya closed on the first post and Rice closed on the center. So it's what I've been that angle, that three of them make that angle real tight for whoever it is got that square pass to shoot. That person had to take a good shot to score. It was no walk in the park for this. It's not like it's a tap in the other guy.
Yeah.
You understand? Many need to watch that back and see how Saliba, Rice and Raya close down that angle and put them five players under enough pressure to mess that chance up.
So anybody who said Declan did nothing, that's madness. But I watch in the back, I don't watch it at half speed, but I have something real funny to say, bro. You know that I watch in the highlights on Liverpool player. You know when Salah passes off the ball, they small the video up, though. Like they put this video up in the corner to tell you never miss a video. This subscribe base, I can't even see the shot. Trying to take properly, boy. But
it was a terrible shot, to be honest.
At the end of the day, even if Rice did nothing other than provide his presence, that was needed, because if he was running in on goal, he'd have all the time in the world. And at the end of the day, on a breakout like that, I watching right before the pass, Declan is making sure that Salah, this is a real good screen grab here, boy. Because Saliba is on the left of Salah, so he can't pass the ball left.
Nope.
He has three players to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. He has three players to the right. And obviously he can't stop. If he stops, there are Arsenal defenders coming back,
right?
But I don't know, boy. I don't know if Trent was the man to get our ball. And at the end of the day, Trent hit the cross, boy.
Yeah.
Like, them bro, still had, like, a good opportunity to score. Like, that was still lucky.
Salah, look at Rice and say, damn, a wall. I can't go in there. I had to score.
And he's a left footer, so he can't come onto his left foot to shoot either.
No.
Because of Saliba's position.
Uh-huh.
So, did I be real mad at him if he don't shoot the free? Like? But, Declan played a real important role.
Wait, I understand. Sorry, yeah. I don't see what you're talking about. This is Liverpool YouTube channel, though.
Yeah, it's Liverpool.
The small up the screen for the messiahs?
Yeah, so we can go see it properly. And even on the pass, Saliba pressures the shot on. Not Saliba, Declan Rice still covers the pressure that shot on.
Yeah, that's what I told you.
Wait.
It needed a perfect shot to score because of the pressure that them men put.
Yeah, but I think Liverpool would feel sore because in the aspect of in my opinion, I play a little football yesterday and clearly I'm not a good footballer. Right? in my opinion, just the way how that chance was taken, I think Trent had to hit that on the ground.
Yeah.
Just to critique his shooting. Yeah. You had to put it on the ground, but you don't put it in the air. You know what I mean? That's it. That's all I want to say. But yeah, I just wanted to, before we look to close it up for today, It's an interesting that I missed.
This was the handball from Odegaard, right?
Yes, yes, the Odegaard handball.
Yeah, so as I say, I said inside the box rules, and outside the box rules, I bring back up right real quick. That pitch was real wet us. Everybody was skating, man.
Yeah, boy, that was ridiculous.
And I think because of the proximity and because he slipped, I think it was fair game to not give the penalty. Because had he not slipped, I don't think he'd have put his hand on there.
I understand. For balance. I mean, Yinti men say he was playing a little basketball, running a pick and roll.
If he was,
But, I think Saliba quote is the best, and I think that his quote goes to show how we feel about the VAR so far this season. He was like, yeah, 100% a penalty, but I's not the referee. And I think that's something that you can kind of see when you've been cheated badly by the refereeing decisions.
Yeah.
All year. So, but I agree with you though. I don't think it was a penalty. He definitely was fallen, but yeah. And at the end of the day, we have all. And nobody on the planet that is it who never fall before.
Yeah.
As soon as you're falling, your hands react to get back that balance. So you can't really punish the man for moving his arms to protect himself falling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if your hands don't shoot out there, that fall going to be hard.
Yeah, you might possibly injure himself on your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Concussion. It have a lot of things to consider, so I don't think people could genuinely be upset about that. And if they are, well, so be it. But yeah.
I find like Saliba have a bit of arrogance to him, Brian, which I like.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love
As he's speaking more in public.
Yeah.
I kind of a little cautious because I think he should slow down a little bit. I think game about that 2 seasons again before he's the best defender anyway. Not, I mean, but he kind of rushing it. Can I gain a little?
Yeah, but
I
don't think he has been behaving like I untouchable. I think one of the main reasons for that so far is he not being picked for France. So he not in a position to
who's
be
France
like.
Who's France manager again? Deschamps.
Deschamps is, yeah.
You don't like him too much,
I don't think that'd be it. But I think France also has some.
That real good defenders. Them have real. That France is stuck to defenders so. Right now. But here, what's going on?
So,
here, what's going on? Deschamps say Saliba in Arsenal, he have it easy. He sure he's starting every week. So he said that Saliba to improve his mentality when he come in with France squad, because he actually had a fight for his place by we.
And I think that Deschamps is not a good manager. Because to say it too easy is insane when if you're watching the football, you will see that he is the man commanding the defense. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, Gabriel is the vocal one, you can see him pointing and thing. The man that sets the tone for our defense is Saliba. Whatever Gabriel do, Saliba responds well to thing. So, he could say that. Say change your mentality. Say, you know, it's just you and Gabriel there. You don't have a third man that could easily take your spot.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in France, they rotate the defenders like that, and they still keep the quality.
Say that you have a wealth of quality options and you prefer this. Don't try and make the man seem like if
your mentality
he ain't good enough.
Yeah.
And that is craziness. But at the end of the day, them managers could see other workers. It's world-class players top to bottom. It don't even matter if you're making any wrong selections. You're still making a good selection.
Yeah.
With them teams.
Yeah, so, and, you know. But the thing is, right, what's Saliba have over majority of defenders in the world right now is composure and that ball-playing skills. You know? It don't have defenders that could play under pressure like he, you know.
Yeah.
He's so press resistant.
Yeah.
He's a defender that don't have to boot it out right through.
I think one of the things you're thinking about there too, France have that too, boy. France, that mean like Upamecano. You know what I mean? They have a lot of players that It's insane, bro. They have some boss players that could still do the same things that that Saliba does. Theo Hernandez, Lucas Hernandez. That's some players, bro.
No, it Francis Stack, bro. Francis Stack. But you're not hearing everybody in the world saying that these men would be potential to be the best defenders in the world. You hear men saying that these fellas world class, these fellas good, these fellas great thing. But you don't hear nobody else saying that about their men, about being the best defender in the world, or the potential to become the best defender in the world. That's the things you'll be hearing about William. And men,
I actually looking at their thing right now.
Mm-hmm. And before you go on, men just be saying, men just say when they're watching Saliba on the TV, it's one thing. But when they go on to really watch, take him in our game and they see what is really going on, there's the loss of words, how good the man is.
But to me, I just think France is very blessed, but even with their defensive options, having men like Upamecano, having men like Lucas Hernandez, Konate,
mm-hmm.
it's a tough team to break into.
Yeah, and France's weakest area is the midfield right now. No? Attack and defense, they had that. The weakest area is the midfield.
And the midfield not even that bad. Men like Camavinga and Fofana and so bad. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, if you're comparing the weakest area is the midfield. I ain't saying that the midfield bad.
Yeah,
the weakest area is the midfield.
Yeah, understood. You're right. But let me look to wrap it up now. But I just wanted to... I feel I will save this for the next podcast. When we have a little bit more timeless games to talk about, hopefully. So we could touch on that, I think, come in the new year. I just want to say big up to Arteta. 200 games managed. Big up to Saka. 200 appearances. I think they would have done that either like late November, early December. It's been a while, right? To pick up this team 200 games ago when men were saying we fighting relegation.
Yeah.
Right? To challenging for a title 2 seasons.
Yeah.
That I ain't saying too now, man. No matter how much criticisms we would give him, we definitely had to give him the flowers as well, because he has been the mastermind of our true turnaround, making Arsenal a better team. So shout out to him, and shout out to the star boy. I mean, there's nothing else to say about Saka other than that's the star boy. So I'll leave it there.
I have some thoughts on Saka, but I'll leave it there for now. Star boy.
Star boy, I know man is hired to attack.
I will leave it there for now. Next podcast, I will talk about it. I'll get him till the end of the year.
You get him till the end of the year. I like that. Yeah. So, this is where we want to leave it for today. Because we thank you all for listening. You know, we had to crunch it down a little bit, not talk about each game in depth and so on, but that's how time progress. I want to thank you all for listening. You know, we always had... So it's a fun time to jump on the pod and talk about Arsenal football, you know. And I know you enjoy listening to us as we talk about it. So we want to leave it here for today. I kind of fighting a little sleep, you know, that little Christmas food.
Oh, God.
Followed by a little Boxing Day food. I ain't catch myself as yet. But we still fighting it, sure. So yeah, this is where we're leaving it for today. And we're going to ask you to make sure like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. And this has been
Guna Pod TV.
Boom. Let me try it again. Yo, we thank you for listening. Like, share, and subscribe. And this has been
Guna Pod TV. Boom.
Boom. I think we get perfect, bro. You got it. Yo.
We out of here.
Thank you for listening to this episode of GunaPod TT.